Hey, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Eugene Meltzner here, inviting you to join today's assemblage of characters and myself for an extended period of discovery, imagination, and exhilaration. Excitement, that is. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
She said that God doesn't answer prayers anymore.
So you wish to have a look at our orphanage?
Why am I under arrest?
Empty, 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 empty.
You've been living in a cave somewhere?
Oh, my.
Yes, I'm over here behind the Imagination Station.
Oh, hello.
Greetings, Amanda, is it not?
Mandy, yeah. Ah. Connie was busy and sent me up to talk to you.
Oh, how may I assist you? Watch out for that toolbox.
Thanks. Well, there's a girl at school who keeps giving me a hard time, Jessica Dunn.
I see. Huh. And what, pray tell, is Jessica Dunn giving you a hard time about?
She saw me praying in the library and teased me about it. She said that God doesn't answer prayers anymore.
And what did you say?
I showed her my Bible and said that God answers prayers all the time. But she said that he might have way back in the Bible days, but stopped after that.
Well, Jessica obviously does not know her history.
That's what I thought, too. Oh, what history?
Suffice it to say that God didn't stop answering prayers after the Bible. History is replete with examples of answered prayers.
Yeah? Like what?
Well, Mr. Whitaker and I were having a discussion about this very topic just the other day, and... Wait, we can do much better than a tutorial on the subject.
Better than what?
Mr. Whitaker has installed a new program in the Imagination Station. I'm not sure anyone's tried it yet. Would you like to be the first?
A trip in the Imagination Station? Yes, please.
Very well. One moment, please. There. Now, Amanda, Mandy, let us climb aboard. You first.
You're going with me?
As the program is untried, it would behoove me to attend, in case something isn't working properly. Besides, I'm rather curious to experience Mr. Whitaker's new program as well. Now, are you ready?
I sure am.
Then, as is the routine, push the red button. Well, I'm not entirely certain. Obviously a foyer of some sort. The architectural design leads me to believe it is a building from the late 18th century. Oh, though that portrait on the wall is of a rather young Queen Victoria, so perhaps we are in the middle of the 19th century.
Oh, hello. I didn't realize anyone was here. You should have called out. Names, please.
I am Eugene Meltzner, and my protege here is...
I'm Mandy.
Mandy. Interesting name. Short for Amanda, isn't it? I take it from your accents that you're American.
Indeed.
A pleasure to meet you both. We get a few of you, you know, what with Bristol being such a major British port and all. Now, sir, are you her custodian, or have you brought her to us for other reasons?
Her custodian? That is to say, where are we? Besides Bristol, I mean.
The orphanage, of course. I'm Mary Mueller, wife of the Reverend... Oh, dear, you look terribly confused.
Did you say Mueller? As in the Reverend George Mueller?
Yes.
Amanda and I are very interested in your establishment.
I am?
Yes, we are.
Interested? So you wish to have a look at our orphanage. For what purpose, might I ask? Are you also ministers?
Well, it's more accurate to say that we hope to learn something from what we see here.
Ah, well, we do have occasional visitors who wish to study how we operate. Though I should tell you right away that we don't accept donations or have an established list of benefactors.
Then how do you pay your bills?
We get by through the only means possible.
And that is?
Faith. Now, the children have finished their chores for the evening and they'll be off to bed. My husband will be along shortly. This way, if you don't mind.
Thank you. Come along, Amanda.
Eugene, where are we?
Bristol, England, sometime in the 1840s.
But what does this have to do with...
You'll have to watch and see.
This is our kitchen.
Really? Where's the microwave?
It's that large stone structure there by the wall, though they call it a fireplace, and it works less quickly. Where are all the children, Mrs. Mueller?
The work has been done for this evening, I see. The rest of the children must be off in bed. Is that correct, Mrs. Harris?
Yes, ma'am. Begging your pardon, ma'am, but Frank is bringing your husband down for a chat. If you don't mind waiting. Frank's on a bit of a rampage, ma'am.
Thank you, Mrs. Harris. Johnny, leave the rest of those pots and pans a moment. We have some guests I'd like you to meet.
Yes, ma'am.
Johnny can tell you more about how the orphanage operates than anyone else, can't you, Johnny?
Yes, I guess so.
How did you come to be here, Johnny?
Me mom died when I was born. Me dad died when I was 4. Drank himself to death from gin, he did. But Pastor Mueller says there's no shame in it. I got a Heavenly Father who's still with me.
But how'd you end up here?
The Reverend found me. Hunted me down, he did. Like the good shepherd looking for the lost sheep. I was living on the streets, you see.
The streets?
Right. A regular ragamuffin I was. A thief, a liar, and a swindler, doing anything to stay alive. I'd probably have been hung on the gallows or packed off to Botany Bay if Reverend Mueller hadn't gotten hold of me.
Oh, that'll be Frank and the Reverend. Would you like me to take the visitors upstairs, Mum? You wouldn't want them here for this.
Nonsense, Mrs. Harris. We have nothing to hide from our guests. Forgive us a moment while we tend to business.
Are you certain? We can easily retire to another room.
I'm certain. Though I should explain that Frank is my husband's assistant, a nice man, but very, shall we say, enthusiastic about his work.
Wound tight is what you mean, ma'am.
Frank, don't vex yourself.
Do you see, sir? Look, empty, 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 empty.
Ah, I believe I understand, Frank. You are saying that we are out of food.
Yes, yes, yes. Tonight's supper took every last scrap in the kitchen. Tell him, Mrs. Harris.
He's right, sir. I used every bit, down to the last potato peeling.
Well, that does seem to be a problem. Mary, is there any money in the box?
No, not a brass farthing. We've spent it all.
I see. Well, I can't help but believe that God does not want these children to miss their breakfast tomorrow. They have to be strong so that they can study their lessons properly.
That is precisely my point, sir. Now, will you please see your way clear to accept charitable donations? I have a number of business associates who will be more than happy to give to your work here and on a regular basis. All we have to do is ask.
Oh, we will ask, my friend. We will ask someone who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Well, Reverend Mueller, if we
Franklin,
could...
my dear friend.
Yes.
You know that when we created this orphanage, we did so in the faith that God would provide for us. Mm. And he has been faithful. Without our going hats in hand to the obvious means of income, it's now a matter of faith. Mm. So, let us calm down and pray together. Yes?
Well, if you must...
I must. Our dear Heavenly Father, we believe that it is not your will that these little ones should go hungry. We pray that you will send food for their breakfast and provide for all their needs. We ask pardon for our doubt and weakness, and we pray that you will strengthen our faith in providing our daily bread for the morrow. We thank you and praise you, for we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I suggest you all go to bed and see what the Lord will do.
Very well,
good
sir.
Night, sir.
Good night, in the good morning.
Night. Good night to you.
And perhaps my dear wife will do me the honor of introducing me to our guests.
Of course, my dear. This is Eugene and Amanda. They are Americans who have come to see our orphanage at work.
It is a pleasure to see you both. Though the hour is late and the children are preparing for bed. Have you a place to stay? Yeah, I would offer you something to eat, but as you just...
Oh, thank you anyway, but no, we really should leave.
But what about seeing the answer to their prayer?
That we won't see until the morning.
Do you really believe God is going to bring you breakfast?
Let me tell you something I read today, Amanda. It was in the 68th Psalm. God is the father of the fatherless. If we can take him at his word, he will provide for his children.
And you believe he will?
Yes, I do. But Lord, help my unbelief.
Eugene, what happened?
Well, apparently we're on our way to the next adventure.
But aren't we going to see if Reverend Mueller's prayer got answered?
Knowing Mr. Whitaker, I'm sure we will. I'm simply not sure when.
It's so dark.
Oh, and it most certainly is not Bristol.
Where are we?
The town square in Europe. From the appearance of those huts in that fortress, we've gone further back into history.
Like, how far back?
Well, the 1500s, perhaps.
What?
Oh, I believe I know where Mr. Whitaker has sent us. It's the town of Vilvoorde in Belgium. You see, Mr. Whitaker has a deep appreciation for what...
You there!
Me?
Did you just arrive? Why did you not go straight to the jail? You're late.
Late? Yes. Jail. I do apologize. Well, we had a flat on the way in, you see.
What?
Follow me, and hurry.
Yes.
You've kept us waiting long enough. Though nobody told me you were bringing a child with you. Unusual, but none of my business. Will you want to sleep or interrogate the prisoner right away?
Interrogate the prisoner?
I thought as much. He's in here. We keep him in the back cell of the guardhouse.
Yes.
He'll be no trouble. These English do not fight.
No, of course not. And merely as a matter of protocol, how precisely would I address this particular Englishman?
It makes no difference to me what you call the heretic. I call him William Tyndale. And not Mr. or Doctor. Too much respect for a man like him.
William Tyndale, just as I thought.
He's in here. Just shout when you're finished. But watch him. He's a clever one.
Thank you.
William Tyndale?
Mm-hmm. He translated the Bible into English.
So what's he doing in jail?
Let's find out.
Why am I under arrest? An odd question for a magistrate to ask.
Well, actually, I'm not a magistrate.
Then who are you?
Would it be enough to say that we're travelers who have come a long way to learn from you?
Travelers, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Fellow sojourners of the true Christian faith?
Yes.
I wouldn't say it too loudly, or they'll lock you in here with me.
You mean it's a crime to be a Christian here?
Ah, now there's an interesting question. I certainly didn't think so. Then I committed a most heinous crime. I acted on my faith.
You mean you translated the Bible into English?
Yes. How did you know?
News of your work has spread.
Praise God. But to be more accurate, I translated the New Testament into English. They arrested me before I finished the Old Testament. And now they want to burn me at the stake for it.
Burn you?
Well, that is the penalty for heresy. So, there, if you're a couple of spies, you have my confession. Do with me what you will.
We're not spies, sir.
Wait, I don't get it. They're gonna burn you at the stake for translating the Bible? What's wrong with that?
You're not from around here, are you? Where do I begin? Well... Back in England, when I was a poor tutor to a rich man's children, I had wonderful debates with the churchmen who came to dine at the great house. They seemed to regard the Bible as a tremendous secret.
Secret?
Yes, locked away from ordinary people in its mysterious ancient languages. I soon realized that even these clergymen and bishops hadn't read the scriptures, much less understood them. So I determined that the overriding purpose of my life, my heartfelt prayer, would be to put God's book into the common language, so that the humblest ploughboy could know as much of the word of God as the mightiest king in England.
And that was a crime?
It would seem so. The church is greatly threatened by my work, enough to drive me from England, and now to condemn me to the stake.
That's terrible!
Still, I pray that God in his grace will deliver me from this judgment.
And if you prayed, God will have to deliver you, right?
Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for deliverance in the Garden of Gethsemane, but concluded his prayer with, "Not my will, but thine, O Lord."
But God wouldn't let you burn at the stake for making the Bible readable for everybody, would he?
In my prayers, I certainly hope not. But tomorrow will show us the revelation of God's desire.
No, wait!
As I said, it's a new program.
But what about Mr. Tyndale? They aren't going to burn him at the stake, are they?
Well, if this is upsetting you too much, Amanda, we can stop.
No, it's okay. But I just want to know what's going to happen to everybody. The orphanage, Mr. Tyndale, and... Hey, wait a minute. Where are we now?
Summoning my observational skills, upon close examination, I would have to say that we are... on a road in the middle of nowhere.
I can see that. But... Ow, it's so hot and bright. I should have brought my sunglasses.
Oh, still dissatisfied, are we? One moment you're complaining that it's too dark, and now it's too hot and bright.
So where... are we? Why is it so dusty?
Unknown. Wait, someone's approaching.
Looks like there are a lot of someone's approaching. Look, Eugene.
Yes, I see. Their clothes, the horse-drawn wagon. We appear to be in mid-1800s America. Excuse me, greetings and salutations.
Hello there.
We seem to be lost. Can you tell us where we are?
Well, follow this road yonder, and you'll get to Oberlin, Ohio.
Ah, thank you. Where's everybody journeying to on such a such a fine afternoon?
I could do without such fine afternoons. If they don't end soon, my crops will die, and then where will I be?
So you're in a drought?
You've been living in a cave somewhere? Sure, we're in a drought. The worst one anybody around here has ever seen or heard tell of. Mm. Not a drop of rain since the first day of spring. And if we don't get some soon, all the animals will die too. And then where will I be?
So, where's everybody going? Did somebody find water down the road?
I'm not counting on it, but my wife seems to think so. Ain't that right, Matilda?
Charles Finney is going to pray for rain.
Oh?
You ain't heard of Charles Finney?
Oh, yes, of course, the great revival preacher.
Oh, you really think his prayer's gonna work?
Well, I'd like to think it will.
If the two of you are going, there's no point walking on a day like this. You can ride with us.
Can we, Eugene?
Of course, Amanda. Thank you, sir.
Hop in. Just don't disturb my pigs. They'll get to fussing, and then where will I be?
Oh, my.
Oh, excuse me. Wow. Where'd all these people come from?
It appears as if the entire region showed up for this gathering. A drought is a very serious matter for poor farmers.
I never heard of Charles Finney.
Well, I'm not well versed with his life either. I know only that he was a famous Bible teacher and preacher around this time. Oh, and do you see that building over there?
Yeah.
That's Oberlin College. Charles Finney is the president there.
I see a lot of men by the podium. Which one is he?
Well, I've only ever seen one drawing of him in one of Mr. Whitaker's books, but... Oh, yes, of course.
What's so funny?
I think I've spotted him.
Where?
There, the tall man carrying the umbrella.
Umbrella?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, students, it's the time we've all been waiting for. After months of praying for rain and not getting it, a man we all know and respect as a devout preacher for God has agreed to lead us today as we lift our hearts toward heaven. Here is President Charles Finney.
Thank you. I see I'm the only one who brought an umbrella today. We all have faith, or don't we? We're asking the Lord to send rain, are we not? Better to be prepared. Now, let's put our faith in Jesus. Let's believe he can do this thing we ask of him. Dear Heavenly Father, our chief burden today is the lack of rain. Day after day we have looked up and seen only the burning sun and clouds that never bring a shower. The poor creatures of the field and the forest are joined together in our suffering. The ground itself is cracked open in its dryness. Even the thirsty earth seems to cry out for water. Oh, Lord, we know you are the God of power and provision. We cry out to you, Father, for Jesus' sake. Our heart's desire and prayer is for rain, Lord. Send the rain and relieve our suffering. We pray this, O Lord, with great thanksgiving, that you shall answer this plea, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eugene, look, the clouds.
I see them.
The Lord has heard while we were yet speaking.
It worked, Eugene. God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer.
It's a good thing Charles Finney remembered to bring his umbrella.
Came back.
Good morning, Mrs. Mueller.
We wanted to see if God answers your prayer.
You mean how he answers our prayer?
Yeah. If he can make it rain, he can feed orphans.
Make it rain?
Never mind.
Good morning, everyone. Frank. Still the long face? Have the children take their seats, please.
But, sir.
Frank, have the children take their seats.
As you wish. Be seated, children. We still have no food to put in front of him, Reverend.
No, but we shall thank the Lord for the food he will. Attention, children. You know you must be ready in time for your lessons, so let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for what you will give us to eat. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, sir. Sir, please.
Shh. Don't stand there gawking, Mrs. Harris. Please open the door.
Yes, Reverend.
Thank you, Barbara. I have to speak with the Reverend.
Right. Come right this way. Reverend Mueller, this man would like a word with you.
Of course. Come in.
Reverend Mueller?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know how to explain this, sir, because I've never had anything like this happen to me before.
Yes?
Well, I'm a baker by trade, sir. Got my own bake shop on the other side of Bristol. Well, sir, middle of last night, I suddenly wakes up. It's the strangest thing. I had this feeling. Well, sir, it was like God was there in the room with me. Like the whole room was filled with his goodness. Anyhow, I get this idea, see? I says to myself, Pastor Muller's orphans don't have bread for breakfast. So I gets up and wakes me apprentices, and we spends the rest of the night baking bread and sweet rolls for you and your children. if you don't mind, that is.
No, not at all. Bring it in, please.
Right. Bring it in, boys.
Well, I never...
Right, bring it in.
Thank you.
Don't thank me, Pastor. It was the Lord's doing.
George, another gentleman.
Who?
Excuse me, Governor. This is the orphanage, is it?
Yes, that is right.
Well, sir, me wagon broke down in the street here, and I got to tow it back to the shop for repairs.
How may we help you?
Well, I've got all these containers of fresh milk in the back, and I thought maybe it would do more good for the orphans than for me to dump it out in the gutter.
You are absolutely correct, sir. By all means, bring it in.
Right you are, Gov. All right, Billy. He wants the milk.
Pastor Mueller, bread and milk. Bread and milk. I don't believe it, Pastor. Bread and milk.
Believe it, Frank. And praise God for his provision.
Eugene, did you see that? God told the baker to bring the bread. Then he made the milk wagon break down. Just like he made the rain come for Charles Finney. He answers prayer. Boy, is Jessica going to hear it from me.
As I said, history is full of examples of answered prayers.
But what about William Tyndale? We have to go back and see how God sets him free.
I believe that's where we are now.
There's an awful lot of people here. I can't see a thing.
They've come for William Tyndale's execution, I'm afraid.
Ha, then they're going to be disappointed. What's going on, Eugene? I can't see anything.
Perhaps it's better that way. There's a large stake set up in the middle of the square with mounds of firewood piled up around it.
They shouldn't go into all that work, because they won't get to use it.
Mandy, William Tyndale is tied to the stake.
What? Well, something's still going to happen. They're going to set him free, I know it.
Mandy.
Mr. Tyndale just wanted to translate the Bible so people could read it. God's not going to let him die for that. He'll do something, I know it. Eugene, what's happening?
Well, they're bringing up the torches.
Lord, open the King of England's eyes!
No, God answers prayers, he can't die. Eugene! Eugene!
Mandy, are you all right?
Oh, Eugene, God let him die. How could God let him die like that?
I can't answer that question. Why does anyone ever have to die tragically or for his faith?
But I don't get it. God answered Charles Finney's prayer and brought the rain. And then he answered George Mueller's prayer and gave those orphans breakfast. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he answer William Tyndale's prayer?
Well, God doesn't always answer prayers in the ways we might anticipate. In some respects, one could argue that God did answer William Tyndale's prayer.
What do you mean?
Well, he told us that his heart's prayer was to translate the Bible so that everyone could read it, remember?
Yeah.
And his last words were a prayer that God would open the eyes of the King of England.
Uh-huh.
Both of those prayers were answered. 75 years after Tyndale died, King James I commanded that the Bible be translated into English so that all of his subjects could read it, from the highest ruler down to the boy plowing a field.
Really?
Yes. And the version that the translators used as one of their best sources was William Tyndale's.
Wow.
So you see, his prayers were answered, just not as we expected.
It still makes me feel sad.
I'm not convinced that answered prayers are always supposed to make us feel happy, but they do work out, which I suppose is the point of Mr. Whitaker's new program, eh?
Yeah.
So, what are you going to say to Jessica Dunn the next time you see her?
First, that she ought to try this program.
Hmm. And then?
I'll tell her that I'm praying for her.
Excellent.
John 5:14 reminds us that this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. No matter who we are or what we're going through, God is there, listening to us. In fact, Psalm 55 promises, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and God shall hear my voice." He may not always answer the way we expect, but He does answer. Stop for a moment and think about how God has answered prayers in your life. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. When in Doubt, Pray was written by Doug McIntosh and directed by Phil Luller. Our production engineer was Todd Bastide. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.